Turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. We read a little bit about that this morning. But Isaiah 53, I want you to get there. I'm going to give you a couple of funnies tonight. Is that okay? So a wife was texting her husband on a cold winter morning. Windows frozen. Won't open. The husband texts back. Gently pour some lukewarm water over it and then gently tap the edges with a hammer. Wife texts back 10 minutes later. Computer really messed up now. Windows frozen, you know. Some of you get that tomorrow. Okay, here are some specific hymns that are for individuals in different situations. The dentist's hymn: crown him with many crowns. The tailor's hymn: holy, holy, holy. The politician's hymn: standing on the promises. The optometrist's hymn: open my eyes, Lord. The IRS agent's hymn: I surrender all. The massage therapist's hymn: he touched me. And then for those who are speeding on the highway, there's a hymn for each of you. At 45 miles an hour, God will take care of you. At 65 miles an hour, nearer, my God, to thee. 85 miles an hour, this world is not my home. 95 miles an hour, Lord, I'm coming home. And 100 miles an hour, precious memories. Praise God. Okay, you know what's in my heart tonight is just to take the complex and just make it very simple. I pastored for 27 years, and so, you know, I try to make things simple. My good friends Espy and Susan are back here, and you know, if Espy's now going to get anything, I mean, I got to do it simple, right, Espy? Praise God. The bottom line is people take truth and they try to make it so complex in order to be unique and all this, but healing is really very easy. Okay, healing is not difficult, and too many times we've mystified it and made it you know, where and there are gifts of healings, there are gifts of the Spirit, and there are, like evangelists, that have the healing power of God in them as part of their gifts to do what they're called to do. And so, you know, when I was first filled with the Spirit and I needed healing, I had cancer, a growth in my body, and I needed healing, and I went down. I didn't know how to receive, Dan. It was like, I just thought, you know, it was like mercy drops are going to fall on you or something. You know, I didn't really know how to receive. And so, in fact, I was started bargaining with God. You know, my brother needed salvation. So, you know, Lord, I'm really trying to be noble here. You know, my brother needs salvation. And so I'm really coming for my brother's salvation, hoping that God would see how noble I was then and heal me. So you see, that's just where I was. But I've discovered over the years, healing's not that difficult. But people make it difficult. And you can be healed by the gifts of the Spirit. God loves you, and you can go to Benny Hinn meeting or, you know, whoever the latest and greatest healing guy is. We've got a big conference in Colorado next month. It's called Healing Is Here. We're good. I mean, you know, you can't come there and not get healed. I mean, it's just focus is healing. But in fact, Richard Roberts is going to be there, and there'll be gifts of the Spirit and so on, and that's great. But you can get healed by gifts of the Spirit, but you can't stay healed by gifts of the Spirit. Let me back up and rewind and say that again. You can get healed by the gifts of the Spirit, but you can't stay healed by the gifts of the Spirit. You'd have to follow Benny Hinn or whoever, you know, and even then, you know, it's not automatic. And so, but healing is really very easy. Now, last year, sometime I talked to you about some of the principles that I'm going to talk to you about tonight, but I'm not really going to apologize for saying some of the same things over, because, you know, people don't get it the first time they hear it. And all I know this, I was healed of cancer in 1977, and my son Michael, who just got married, was healed of our muscular arthritic condition in 1978, and then we've subsequently seen people in our church healed, and I've just had this passion. That's what my book is about, Your Healing Door. I've just had this passion to help people receive healing, because it's part of Jesus' ministry. Matthew 4:23, Jesus went about and he taught in their synagogues, he preached the gospel of the kingdom, and he healed their sick. Everybody say teaching. Come on, help me. Teaching. Preaching. Healing. That's Jesus' ministry. And John, I think John 20 or maybe John 21, it talks about how before Jesus left, he said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. He's talking to us. So how did the Father send him? He sent him teaching, preaching, and healing. And so you and I have a healing ministry. I don't care whether you feel like it or not. There are sick people out there. Now look, guys, let me tell you something. If each of us were doing our job, not only going out and winning the loss, but also healing the sick, we'd see this place fill up. Absolutely. This place can be a healing, it is a healing place, but even more so because you take responsibility to heal the sick. Say healing is my ministry. Because Jesus' ministry is my ministry. So I want to talk to you tonight about healing made easy. Healing made easy. Is that all right? It's all I got, so that's what I'm going to tell you. So I'm just going to give you three quick points, and then we're going to stand and we're going to receive healing and we're going to walk in the authority of our healing. You know, I talked to you about it this morning, about it's all in the Son, yeah? So number one, you must know healing is in the atonement. And is available to everyone. You've got to know that. You've got to know that healing is in the atonement, and therefore it's available to everyone. Keep that up on the screen, guys, if you would, just for a moment. You must know healing is in the atonement and available to everyone. I want to make sure everybody gets that written down that wants it. And everybody say, you must know healing is in the atonement. And therefore available to everyone. Now, you know, we say that and we mentally assent to it, but most Christians don't know that. They don't. They don't really believe it's available to everyone. They don't really believe healing is the will of God for everyone. Healing is the will of God for everyone, every time, all the time. Yeah, but Greg, why do we pray for someone and they stay sick, or whether they died or whatever? I don't know, really. I don't know altogether why. Sometimes people say they're believing, but they're really not. Sometimes that people that die early, sometimes they get a vision of Jesus in heaven. They look at Jesus in heaven, look at you, and they just check out. They just, you just don't look that good to them, you know. I don't know. Sometimes they get tired of the fight. It could be a lot of reasons. It's not just one reason why people don't receive. But look, have you, I've explained this to you before, but have you ever preached the gospel to someone and they didn't get saved? Have you ever, you guys have gone out and witnessed to someone? Did you ever witness to somebody and they didn't receive automatically? I mean, look, but you planted the seed, right? That person, look, I got saved in 1973 on the word that I heard 7 years before. And I didn't, here's the reason I didn't get saved. I didn't get saved when I was 13, 14 years old. I think I was 14. I didn't get saved. I could have been saved, but I didn't get saved because I thought, I watched everybody that got saved and they said they submitted to a call to Africa or China or India. And I wanted a pretty girl to marry, and I knew no pretty girl would go to Africa or China or India with me. I'm just confessing my sins. I'm just telling you how dumb I was. But I heard the word 7 years before. And I didn't even hear the word in the denominational church that I was in. I could name it. I'm not going to name it. I didn't hear the word there. But when they had an altar call, and I just answered, and they said, "Are you coming for a transfer of letter or confession of faith?" I said, "I think it's that last one." But I got saved, Tom, in 1973 on the word that I heard 7 years before. So don't, just because you preach the word to someone, don't give up. Amen? Don't give up. But look, just because you preach the word on salvation to somebody and they don't receive, you don't stop witnessing to people because that person didn't receive, did you? Did you? Well, then why would you want to stop praying for folks to be healed because you prayed for somebody and they died? The will of God is in the atonement. The atonement is simply this. It's the finished work of the cross. It's what Jesus did on the cross. The power of the gospel is the cross. It's what Jesus did for us. And if you and I will preach what Jesus did for us, more people will believe and receive it. Now, not everybody's going to believe automatically. You can't force that issue. God doesn't force that. But if you're going to see people healed, you've got to know that healing is in the atonement, and you've got to preach that real strong. Just like you preach that God forgave everybody's sins at the cross. Did Jesus die for everyone's sins? Even died for Hitler's sins? Yeah. I mean, God died for everybody's sin. Jesus died for everybody's sins, right? And anybody who will repent and turn to Jesus and repent from trusting in their own way, they can be born again. New nature, right? Old things passed away, all things become new. Why? Why can they be saved? Everybody, no matter what they've done. Why? Somebody tell me. Lift your hand. Tell me why. Yes, sir. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. But, okay, but what was the act that made that possible? The atonement, the cross. Okay, what he died on the cross. As an innocent human being, he died and paid the penalty for our sins. And everything that's in the atonement, everything Jesus died for, you and I can receive freely. Okay? Have you ever sinned since you got saved? Okay? How many of you know, you don't have to beg, you don't have to, you know, crawl across glass or, you know, do all this penance. All you got to do, Lord, I didn't do right. I moved outside of grace. Forgive me. And how many of you know forgiveness is yours? I said forgiveness is yours. Praise God. So look at Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs. That word griefs is the word, let me get it right. I think it's sickness, that's pains. He's borne our pain. Any of you dealing with pain? Any of you right now dealing with pain? Okay, look, right, where everybody that's dealing with pain. Okay, lift your hand again. Okay, look. Put that back up on the screen, if you would, Richard. Surely, everybody say surely. He has borne our pain. That word griefs, you can look it up in the Hebrew, it's pains. He bore your pain. Your pains. Everything, every time you've got a pain, he bore that. Hallelujah. So what he bore, I'm not borning. I'm not borning what he borne. I'm not bearing what he bared. Amen. He has borne our pains. Look at that, guys, and carried our sorrows as sicknesses. You look in the Hebrew, it's sicknesses. He bore our pains and he carried our sicknesses. At the cross, he did that for you and me. Is that what it says? He bore them, he carried them. So why do we want to? Look, guys, that's not the cross we're supposed to bear, sickness and disease. Jesus bore it, and it is atoning sacrifice. And so you've got to believe this. You've got to believe this with all of the belief you have in you that he bore your pains, carried your sicknesses. Let's go on to read. It tells us more about what he did. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, that's our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities, that's all kind of iniquity patterns, generational issues, things that, you know, strongholds, those kinds of things. Okay, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now, that word peace also means prosperity. And so Jesus died for you and I to have peace of mind and prosperity and provision. You see that? Then by his stripes, he already told us in verse 4, but now again in verse 5, by his stripes we are what? By his stripes we're healed. I mean, you know, you can watch the Passion of the Christ and it doesn't really come real close to what happened, or maybe a little bit, but I mean, Jesus took those stripes, guys, so you and I could be healed. Okay? And look, I am not going to submit to what Jesus bore for me. I'm not submitting to sin. I'm not submitting to strongholds and iniquity patterns. I'm not submitting to depression and oppression. I'm not submitting to poverty and lack. I'm not submitting to sickness and disease, because Jesus, in his atoning sacrifice, that's what he paid the price for, so I don't have to have all those things. Yeah?
Hallelujah.
But see, what happens is we just take Jesus, we kind of dissect Jesus, and we do the Burger King thing. You know, I'll take my burger this way, but cut this and cut that and cut the other thing. You got to take Jesus as he is. And you got to take his sacrifice, the whole sacrifice. And if you want to walk in healing, you have to know that healing is in the atonement, just like forgiveness of sins. And I've shared this with you before, but have you ever led someone to the Lord? Anybody here ever led someone to the Lord? Okay, when you led them to the Lord, did you have one doubt in your mind that Jesus would forgive them and save them? Why? Why? Well, the Bible says so. But what does the Bible say so? What does he say? He said Jesus paid the price. He took, right here again, read it. Look, read it again. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. So I know Jesus already paid the price with his blood, so that all, no matter what somebody's done, all sin, all transgressions, all of that, has been wiped away. I don't doubt for one moment that that person can be forgiven and saved. Do you? No. But what's the basis by which you believe that that person can be saved? Is the atonement. It's the sacrifice. It's the cross. The cross is the power. This is the message. It's the power of God and the wisdom of God. Is it what Jesus did? He did for everybody. And what he did was enough. Spirit, soul, and body. Now listen, guys, we've got to get this, okay? And the same, look, the people, so many times what happens is when it comes to healing, people approach God or approach the minister who's praying for that person like they're going to a loan officer for an unsecured loan. Really? I know, because I did it. I was wishing upon a star, hoping that God maybe would drop some mercy drops on me. Okay, I didn't know. I wasn't going to God for healing like I did for salvation and forgiveness of sins, which is, that's a secured, that's not even a loan. It's a secured gift that's already been deposited in my account. The same thing is true for healing, guys. And when you get that, and I'm not going to take the time to look over there in Luke chapter, I think it's Luke 5, but I'm not going to look over there because I've shared this with you before. Luke 5, when they brought the man, verses 17 through 24, they brought the man who was paralyzed, remember, and they brought him in through the roof, and Jesus said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." He saw their faith, and he said, "Your sins are forgiven you." Remember that? Okay, the Pharisees got all bent out of shape. You know, who can forgive sins but God only? And Jesus asked a question. He said, whether is easier to say this man's sins are forgiven you or rise up and walk? Which one's easier? And the answer to that question, okay, the correct answer to that question is what will bring healing to you and forgiveness of sins. Which one's easier, to forgive sins or to heal bodies and raise them up even if they're paralyzed? Neither one. Why? Why, Greg, is neither one easier? Because the same sacrifice paid for both. That's the point. The point is, if healing made easy, look, if we'll approach healing like we do forgiveness of sins, more people will get healed. Because Jesus paid the price. He took our pains. He bore our sicknesses. He took our transgressions, didn't he? He wiped them out at the cross, and so did he all our pains and our sicknesses. Yeah, but why do I have this pain then? Well, you know, we'll talk more about that later, but the first thing is you got to know the will of God absolutely is for you to be healed, because the will of God was nailed to the cross. And we've got to stop exalting our experience or our chronic pain or our long-time condition above what Jesus did. You've got to take the Son and you get everything else. You're not taking the Son as your healer. You took Him. Look, whatever you've received from Him, that's how you took Him. But I'm going to take the whole enchilada. I don't know about you. I'm just telling you today, I refuse to submit to sickness and disease or pain. And I've had some. And I'm not condemning anybody here who's gone through, you know, who's dealt with chronic sin or some iniquity patterns, and maybe, you know, you've dealt with something and you go over again, and or somebody who's dealt with chronic pain or depression. You know, I don't have any rocks to throw at anybody. I have compassion on you. But, you know, I mean, some people, I'm not going to name some who it is, but some of them say, you know, well, just get over it, you know. But I have compassion on you. But at the end of the day, if my compassion for you turns into human compassion, where I start patting you on the back and, oh, poor baby, and I enable you to stay in that place, I haven't helped you. I have compassion on you. I know, you know, Andrew and Kenneth Hagin, I've never had a headache in 46 years, and I've never been depressed in 46 years. Well, I have. Confess to you right now, I have. But you know, when I do, it's because I got my mind off of the Lord and off of what He did for me. He paid the price so I could have peace of mind. And I sleep good at night. And I'm walking in health. Okay, but that doesn't mean I haven't had sleepless nights, or I haven't had depression hit me, or pain hit my body. But I'm telling you, I do not submit to it, and I'm not submitting to it. If I had to die believing, I'll just believe. Are you hearing me? What else are you going to do? Believe. Let's believe what Jesus did. And you've got to know that you know what you know that you know in your knower, that healing is in the atonement. What does that mean? That what Jesus did at the cross was enough, and it covers us spirit, soul, and body. He's also the healer of the brokenhearted. So, you know, those of you who are hurting, a lot of people have sickness and pain in their body because they've got a broken heart, and they haven't let Jesus, the healer of the broken heart, heal their heart. I'm speaking right now by the Spirit. Somebody's here tonight, and you've got a broken heart. You need to let Jesus heal your broken heart. Your physical condition is a symptom. It's not the problem. The problem is that you haven't let Jesus heal your broken heart. Jesus is going to heal your heart right now. So, who is that? I just want to pray for you. Who is that? I'm not going to call you up front. I'm just going to pray. I see that hand. I see those hands. Why don't we just close our eyes just for a moment? Jesus is here. His presence is here to heal. He didn't do stuff and then not perform and not accomplish it. He didn't do something at the cross and not manifest it here on earth. He did that for you. He was looking down through time and he saw you. And he paid the price to heal your heart. He's a healer of the brokenhearted. He wants you well. He's got compassion on you. And I'm just telling you, I know by the Spirit, the reason why you're dealing with all these symptoms in your body, and I'm speaking to some specific people tonight, is because Jesus came to heal your broken heart. He's the healer of the brokenhearted. He's doing that tonight. So while heads are bowed, just lift your hand up. I'm just going to agree with you. In Jesus' name, I'm speaking. By the power of the Spirit, I'm speaking to your heart. Be healed. Jesus, touch their hearts. Make them whole. Put the pieces back together again. Give them hope, Father. In Jesus' name. Let's all say together, Jesus, I receive your healing for my broken heart, for all of my wounds, all that rejection, all the betrayal. Lord, you're greater than that. And I give you permission to heal my heart. In Jesus' name. Now, you know, I want you to meditate on Luke chapter 4. He talks about Jesus being the healer of the broken heart. But where does that tie into the atonement? The chastisement of our peace was upon him. You don't have peace when your heart's all broken. The chastisement of our peace, that's the soulish part of our heart. He took that for you. And he was betrayed for you. Amen. And his healing power is here. Praise God. The healer is here.
We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. You're the healer of the brokenhearted. Jesus, you're the healer of the brokenhearted. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, the Lord's just stopping me right now because he really is healing your broken heart. And then put your hand on your heart. He's healing your heart. And then he's healing your body. He's healing your heart. And then the life in your spirit's flowing out to your body. There's physical healing happening right now in the name of Jesus because you let him heal your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, pick up their spirits, Father. Pick up their souls. Father, lift up your eyes. Lift up your heart. Lift up your heart. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you cast down, O my soul? The Lord, your healer, has come to make you whole, to heal your heart, to set things right. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Espy and Susan, you guys come here. Come on, quickly. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. The Lord's doing a healing work in you guys. Maybe I could have a couple guys here behind them. The Lord's doing a healing work in you. And listen, you don't have to be afraid, okay? I mean, the work he's begun, he's performing, okay? And you don't have to be concerned about the past. You don't have to be concerned about anything because the work he's begun in you, it's good. He's going to finish. Amen? Amen? Praise God. So, Father, we just thank you. I just thank you for your healing power. In the name of Jesus, we break off. We break off every remnant of the enemy's power. I apply the power of the cross to you, man of God. The power of the cross. Be healed. The power of the cross. The power of the cross, Susan, makes you whole. Makes you whole. It's already made your spirit whole, but your soul and your body is being made in the image of Jesus. Be made whole, Susan, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, we just bless him. Help me pray for Espy and Susan right now. Father, we just bless this precious couple. And I thank you, Father, the call of God, Father, the purpose of God in their lives, Lord, will be fulfilled. We break the power of the enemy, every remnant of the enemy's authority over their lives, and we declare they don't belong to the enemy. They belong to Jesus. They belong to Jesus. And Father, your love prevails. Your power prevails. Your cross prevails. And Father, they're healed and whole. And Father, they're going to dispatch healing to others. They're going to share healing with others in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, guys, the power of the Lord is present here to heal. And it's here. It's here. Jesus is here, Espy. It's here. Love you, man.
Love you, too.
Love you. You're a real son in the faith, and I love you. Appreciate you, Susan. Love you. Praise God. Listen, I know it's already here because Jesus already paid the price. We just have to believe it. It's available. I don't care how long it's been. I mean, I care and so does God. But the woman with the issue of blood was that way for 12 years. But her suddenly came because she heard about Jesus. And I'm telling you, this is not hard any more than receiving forgiveness of sins. Which one's easier? To say your sins are forgiven you or say rise up and walk? Neither one. Why? The same sacrifice paid for both. And it covers us. Man, it's the whole package. You got to take the Son as he is. It's the whole package, man. It's spirit, soul, and body. It's provision. It's peace of mind. It's healing in your body and all kinds of freedom that is happening right now. Somebody's in a chronic struggle with a stronghold and you haven't been able to defeat it. You haven't been able to, you've done all kinds of things and it just hasn't, you know, you've done everything you know to do. You pushed every button, pulled every lever, and the healing power of God is here to deliver you tonight. Right now.
Hallelujah.
I said right now.
Hallelujah.
Right now. The healing power of God is here to deliver you tonight. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait again. Who is that? If you just be bold and stand up. If you be bold, praise God. Come, whoever it is, come down here. I need to pray for you, whoever it is. Thank you, Father.
Anybody else? Come on down. The healing, delivering power of Jesus is here. Sir, what is your name?
Peter.
Peter, Jesus loves you, man. You don't have to live with us anymore. You're free. Jesus' name. Go free. Go free. Go free. In Jesus' name, go free, Peter. Go free. In the name of Jesus, what is your name?
Shirley.
Shirley, Jesus loves you. Shirley. Surely, Jesus loves you, and surely your day of freedom has come, Shirley. Surely, your day of freedom has come. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the power of the cross, surely sets you free. Surely, the power of the cross surely sets you free, Shirley, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! You are free, Shirley. Surely, you are free, Shirley, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Cody, be free in Jesus' name. Be free. Be free, be free, be free. And what is your name? Elena, that's precious. My wife's middle name is Elaine. Elena, you're so precious. Did you know you're precious, Lord? Do you believe it? Praise God. Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you for your precious love for Elena. And I thank you for the power of the cross that makes her whole, that delivers her, Father, frees her. In Jesus' name, no more bondage. No more. The Lord delivers you, Elena, today. The Lord delivers you today. This is your day of deliverance, Elena, in Jesus' name. We cut off the power of the enemy, and we declare the power of the cross makes you free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Won't you come over here, honey, and just minister to her? Listen, guys. Surely you got it. Surely. This is your day. This is your hour. You're free. You are free. You're not going back. You're not under the authority or the power of the enemy anymore. Surely, you're not under the power. You're under the power of the cross. The power of the cross sets you free. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just lift our hands and thank Him for the power of the cross. Father, we thank You. We bless You. Lord, Your cross makes us whole. Your cross makes us free. We're not under the authority of bondage. We're not under the authority of darkness. We're not under the authority of that anymore. Hallelujah. I went to visit Pastor today at the hospital, and Philip was there, and he said, man, we got to watch this morning right up to the time that you said, and you're kidding me. Remember I said that? You're kidding me. You got to be kidding me. And he said, what happened? Something happened in the auditorium? He said, something. You're kidding me. Remember I said that? What I said was, you're kidding me. The power of the enemy is greater than the power of the cross? Really? It's not. No way, guys. The power of the cross defeats the enemy. No matter what he's done in your life, look, when you lead someone to the Lord, and they've been under the power of darkness in their spirit, in one moment's time, they come out from underneath that, don't they? They're brand new people on the inside. Look, the same principle is true when it comes to your soul, when it comes to your body. And we've got to stop mystifying healing. It's in the power of the cross. The same way forgiveness of sins is. And we've got to start preaching the cross and knowing that the cross is the hub of everything we receive. And it already happened. So you know what? Imelda, I'm receiving the full package, even though I might not feel like it. You know, after I got saved, there were days I didn't feel saved. There any of you? I mean, there were days after I got married I didn't feel married. But, you know, I'm getting in trouble now.
No, there. You know, I didn't feel saved every day. I think things came to my mind to try to tell me I wasn't. But how many of you know? Even if I went to heaven, not feeling saved, how many of you know it didn't change my condition? Why? Because of the power of the cross. And so you might not feel healed. You might still have a bout with depression or whatever. But that's where the second point comes in. You've got to walk. You must walk in the authority that's been given to you. Okay, it's not just going to fall off on you like ripe cherries off a tree. And even if it did fall off you on you like ripe cherries off a tree through gifts of the healings or whatever, you got to walk in your authority. You've got to step into the authority that He gave you. Now, first of all, you must believe absolutely that healing is in the atonement. And so therefore, it's no problem. It's already provided for you. It's already on deposit in your spiritual account. Then the next thing is, you've got to know, you must walk in the authority that God gave you. Because the enemy is going to try to bully you. He's going to try to tell you that you didn't receive it. You know, just like he tried to tell you you weren't saved or whatever. But he's going to try to bully you. But I got news. You and I've got to bully him. Yeah. Now we're the ones that are seated together in heavenly places, far above all principality and power. And if you just get a revelation of that, there's no power above the name of Jesus. Not cancer, not heart disease, not depression, not anything. Then there's a name that's above every name. But you and I are going to have to walk in that authority. Look, guys, it doesn't just happen because it's the will of God. Do you understand the will of God is not automatic? Do you understand that? It's the will of God that everybody be saved, but is everybody saved? No, it's the will of God that everybody be healed, but is everybody healed? No, it is the will of God, but the will of God must be enforced. Okay, you and I, guess what? You and I are the enforcers. Now, I've shared some of this with you, but in Matthew 10, verse 1, and when he had called his 12 disciples, how many of you are one of his disciples? Okay, so he's talking to you here. And he gave them power, everybody say power. He gave them power over unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease. So he's talking about healing. He's talking about deliverance there, right? And he said, you've been given the power to run demons out, to run sickness out of bodies. You have the power. Say, I've got the power. And that word power is the word exousia, and I've shared this with you before, but that simply means you've been delegated the authority to operate in the realm of healing. You've got the jurisdiction, you've got the control in the realm of healing, sickness and disease. You've got authority in that realm. Okay? You've been deputized to be a deputy to keep sickness and disease out of Healingville. Does that make sense? Okay, then in Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, Luke 9, then he called his 12 disciples. How many of you are one of his disciples? He's talking to you then. And gave them power. Everybody say power. Power. Gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. See, God, he sent us. And here this word power, it's another word. For power, it's the word dunamis, which means miraculous force or might. Okay, so you've been deputized as a deputy in Healingville to keep out sickness and disease, but you've also now been given the dunamis power. It would be like a deputy having a badge, but now he's got the gun and the taser and the handcuffs, okay? And you've got that power. But guys, you've got that authority. But you could use it, or you could be like Barney Fife. Remember Barney? I mean, Sheriff Andy Griffin never even, I mean, he never even had a gun, but he walked in authority. Is that right? He walked in authority. Barney had a gun, never did walk in authority. He didn't even know how to use a gun. But see, a lot of Christians are like Barney. They're walking around. They don't know the authority that they have. But you've been given and delegated all authority and all power in the realm of healing, where here's so much so that your word in the spirit realm is law. Whatever you say goes. Are you hearing me? Now, look at, you know, I mean, I could give you some other verses, but you know, Matthew 16:19, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. In other words, whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you don't, won't. I mean, you tolerate it. If you allow it, it'll be allowed. Why? You're the one that, you are the one that's in authority. And a lot of us are calling on God to get rid of the devil and you, but yet he deputized you and me. Okay? But you got to walk in your authority. You must walk in the authority, and you must realize what the centurion realized in Matthew 8. Look at Matthew 8. And I'm just telling you how healing works very simply. Okay? It's not mystical. SB, what you do is you realize that healing was provided for us at the cross, just like forgiveness of sins. It's already on my deposit in my spiritual account. God's not holding out on me, but I also have to realize it's not automatic, that I've been delegated authority, and whatever I say goes. They went out and healed the sick. They didn't pray for the sick. They healed the sick. I don't mean they didn't pray for them, but I mean they didn't just pray, oh God, heal them. They healed them by speaking the word. They took authority. They said, demons, get out. Body, be healed. Life, flow. And it happened. Because why did it happen? They knew their authority. You know the problem today? Most Christians don't. And they believe God can heal, but they don't know whether he'll heal every time. And because they've got some thing in the past where, you know, Aunt Susie they prayed for and didn't receive healing and so on. But now look at Matthew 8, and look at verse 5. Matthew 8 and verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. There wasn't any resistance on Jesus' part, was there? The centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy. You should come under my roof, but only speak what? Speak a word, and my servant will be what? Next verse. For I'm also a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he doesn't. Now watch, stop there. Go back to that one. Go back to that verse if you can. Okay, everybody say, go,
go.
Come,
come,
do this,
yes.
Do that.
Yes.
Go,
go,
come, do this,
yes.
Do that.
Yes.
What are you doing when you say, go, come, do this, do that? What are you doing? With your word, you're exercising authority. You see that? Everybody say, go. Come, do this, do that. Now go on now. Go to the next verse. Verse 10. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I've not found such great what? Such great faith, even in Israel. And I say to you, for many will come from the east and west, sit down with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. All right. Now, this is really, really, really important here. Okay? This centurion, Jesus, he said, Jesus, come to my house, heal my servant.
But then on the way, he got a revelation. He said, wait a minute. Why am I asking Jesus to come to my house? I'm asking him to come because I know he's got authority in the realm of healing, in the area of sickness and disease and demonic problems, right? I know he's got authority. That's why I've asked him to come. Wait a minute. How does authority work with me? I'm a man under authority. He was a centurion, and he had men under him. He was a man under authority. And he said, well, if my servants, I tell them to go, and what do? I tell them to come, what do? If I tell them to do this, what do? Well, if I tell them to do that, what do? And here was a revelation. Jesus is a man under authority and a man in authority. And in the realm of healing where I don't have authority, he's got authority. So I know how authority works. You tell your servants to go, they go. You tell them to come, they come. You tell them to do this, they do that. So Jesus, here's the deal. You don't need to come to my house. All I need you to do is exercise the authority you have in healing, in the spirit realm. You tell sickness to go and it'll go. You tell healing to come and it'll come. You tell demons to leave and they'll leave.
Yeah, amen.
Okay. Okay, listen. Jesus said, understanding your authority like that is great faith. Now, you got to get this, guys. Did Jesus have that authority? To tell demons to go, to tell sickness to go, to tell healing to come? Did he have that authority? Even healing was his servant. Okay. Who did he delegate that authority to?
Thank you, Lord.
Your word in the spirit realm, and where sickness and disease and demonic powers are concerned, carry the same authority as if Jesus were in the room. You tell sickness to go, and it'll go. You tell healing to come, and it'll come. You tell demons to leave. You tell a devil, you back off. You get out of that body. You leave that body. Pain, you go. Healing, you come. Look, guys, this is how authority works. It's real simple. You've got absolute authority. You've been delegated absolute authority in the spirit realm. Whatever you say in the spirit realm rules. His word rules. And you're the one to exercise the authority. You've got the authority. He's not doing it anymore. He's waiting till his enemies be made his footstool. He defeated them at the cross, but he's waiting until you and I exercise our authority and tell pain to go, healing to come, demons to flee. Are you hearing me? John 14:13, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask, whatever you require, one verse says, whatever you require in my name, I'll do that. I'll do it. I've deputized you. You use the authority I've given you. You tell demons to go. You tell sickness to leave. You tell pain to get out. Whatever you tell it to do, it'll do. And you tell healing to come. Are you hearing me? And you do it with all power and you do it with all authority. You do that. Say me. You got to walk in that, guys. You've got to understand. You've been given that kind of authority. Yeah? Man. Look at your neighbor. Say, he's talking to you. Your word is law in the spirit realm. Jesus deputized his disciples. Are you one of those? Your word is law. What you say goes. Amen? It's important then what we say. We need to be saying the word, not what we see, not what we feel, not, you know, all this stuff. You feel tempted. You feel like you're not saved. You feel like you're not healed. You feel that pain come back. You feel depressed. You, you know, all this stuff. Well, I'm not following my feelings. I'm telling them what to do. Now, I'm not uncompassionate toward you dealing with the battles that you deal with, but guys, it's time that we took our toddler pants off, took our thumb out of our mouth, put our big boy and big girl pants on, and grow up and walk in the authority that God gave us. Yes? Hallelujah. And then finally, number three, is this helpful? Okay, finally, number three, you have to value the truth over the facts, and the truth will prevail. Keep that up there for a moment. You got to value the truth over the facts, and the truth will prevail. We like to see instant healing. How many of you like to see instant healing? JD, you like to see? I love to see instant healing. But most healing is not instant. Yeah, but with Jesus it was. I know, but you're not Jesus. Jesus dealt with all the unbelief. And you and I still have some unbelief that we deal with. But you got to value the truth above the facts. If you'll value the truth over the facts, the truth will eventually prevail. I'd like it all to be instant, but guys, here's the thing. What happens is, many times, why people don't receive is because they really do believe that Jesus took their sicknesses at Calvary. They really do believe that. They do use the name of Jesus, but if they don't see it happen right away, then they just give up. They get hopeless if they don't see it happen right away. Look, don't get me wrong. I'm all for the instantaneous. But here's why many people don't receive from God. They get their eyes on the calendar or the clock. You cannot receive from God with your eyes on the calendar or the clock. And I listen. This is not something that I'm a novice in. I mean, I minister in healing school all the time, and we prayed for people. We've seen people healed a lot of times. And here's where the battle is lost more than the other two that I've talked about. It's because they do put their eyes on the cross. They do believe Jesus provided that. They do use the name of Jesus and resist the devil, but the devil doesn't leave always so easy. And because he knows that he's only persistent where you're not patient. And you get your eyes on the, and oh God, I thought I had authority. Oh God, why didn't it come through? Oh God, why isn't it working for me? The reason it's not working for you, you just said it's not working for you. You just negated your authority. Why isn't it working for you? What do you mean? What? It's working. Then the devil's leaving. I got news for you, devil. I am taking authority over you. I am evicting you from this land. You're not staying here. And look, you can. You know, I've had people live in my rent houses before, and they didn't leave right away when they didn't pay their rent, and I put an eviction notice. They still stayed. They squatted there. A couple months, wasn't it? 3 months. They squatted. But I finally got them evicted. They were squatting. The devil's squatting. But I've evicted him. I evicted those folks, but they squatted for 3 months. But I finally got them out of there because they weren't paying their rent. And, you know, the devil's trying to squat on your body. And you're believing God right, you're taking authority, but then because the devil's squatting and not leaving right away, you oh God, oh, the devil, he's not leaving. The pain's still there. No, man, you got to stand your ground and keep exalting the truth over the facts that the devil's squatting. You're defeated. If you see him and he's still squatting there after you took authority, you're a defeated foe. You're leaving. You're not staying. You are not welcome here. I am not putting up with you. I'm not tolerating you one more day. You get out. I've already spoken to you, and you start praising God. Amen. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom the arm of the Lord been revealed? Do you know who the arm of the Lord has been revealed to? Whoever believes His report. The arm of the Lord is the power of God. Who's going to receive? How many of you want the power of the Lord, the arm of the Lord revealed to you? Okay, you're going to have to believe His report above every other report, above every other symptom, above pain, even if it persists. Are you hearing me? Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? What then shall we say to these things? What things? Whatever things try to hold on or stay there when you've taken authority and you've believed and it doesn't look like it's leaving. You too many times we give up too easy. Look, I am not giving up on what Jesus died to pay an awful price for. I'm not giving up on that. Why do we want to give up and wimp out? No. Well, yeah, but I mean, it's been a long time. Well, okay, then I'm going to have a bigger miracle. Okay, I don't care, but that's the problem. It's been a long time, and you know, and we get tired, and then we submit to it. And you submit to it. When you submit to it, the power of the Lord is not manifest in your life. And you just negated your authority because you submitted to it because it's too hard. And look, I love you. I'm not mad at you, but I'm telling you why a lot of people don't receive healing is they wimp out and they give up because it didn't happen right away. Now I'm going to show you this, I think I've already said this. Mark 16:18. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Recovery implies a process. Healing, I'd love for healing to be instantaneous, but most healing is a recovery. It's a process. And too many times, because we want it instantaneous and it doesn't happen right away. Now look, I've had it happen right away. Praise God. But I'm talking to those, you know, how many of you have ever prayed for someone and they were healed instantly? Or you prayed for yourself? But what do you do when that doesn't happen like that? This is the point. This is where a lot of people lose it. This is where they miss it. They give up because they get their eyes on the clock or on the calendar. I said they get their eyes on the clock or the calendar. You cannot. Okay, listen. You cannot receive from God. You can never receive from God. Ever receive from God. You cannot receive from God with your eyes on the clock or the calendar. You keep your eyes on the cross and on the Word, not on your condition or the clock or the calendar. Everybody say the big C. The cross, Christ, trumps all the little C's. The clock, the calendar, the condition. Big C. Everybody say big C trumps little C's. All right. We've landed. We're not up to the terminal yet. I want you to look at Mark chapter 9. And this is a story. I'm not going to read the whole thing, okay? But this is a story of Jesus was on Mount Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And he came down the mount. Okay, who did he go up to the mount with? Peter, James, and John. How many is that? How many disciples were left? 9, okay. All right, let me tell you a little, let me help you learn a little kingdom principle here. The kingdom of God is not fair. Some of you are offended because you were one of the 9. And pastor didn't call you or whoever you're, you know, you didn't get, you got in the natural, it looked like you got overlooked. How many of you know the kingdom of God's not fair? How many of you know God's good? Okay, but sometimes it looks like He's not fair. Okay, I'm saying that for a reason. Because someone here is stuck because they think God's not fair. Because they didn't get to go up to the mount. Yeah, you never will go up to the mount with that attitude either. Somebody needed that. Okay, Mark 9. And so they come down, father comes and talks to Jesus, Jesus sees the bunch of stuff going on, and he asks the scribes in verse 16, "What are you discussing with them?" And then verse 17, one of the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Wherever it seizes him," verse 18, "it throws him down. He foams into the mouth, gnashes with his teeth, becomes rigid." In other words, he's having epileptic seizures. "So I spoke to your disciples," and they what? "That they should cast it out," but they what? They could not. Now look, this wasn't their first rodeo. This happened after Jesus had already sent them out. They'd already seen demons cast out. In fact, they came back exulting in all that. But then Jesus said, "Faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then verse 20, they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit what? Convulsed him. So he had a seizure. Now this is Jesus. No, you know, you know they had to be doing this to the disciples too. This boy had a seizure in front of the Son of God. Did Jesus have power over that? Okay, but he still had a seizure in front of Jesus, right? And how many of you know when that demon did that seizure in front of those disciples after they said, "Come out," and he still did a seizure, how many of you know that freaked him out? Did it freak Jesus out? And Jesus, he just turned, "Well, how long has this been going on?" He didn't freak out. "How long has this been going on?" And he told him from childhood, and often he's thrown him into the fire, into the water to destroy him. "But if you can do anything, have compassion and help us." And Jesus said, if you can believe, that's the issue. If you can believe in the midst of all these convulsions and seizures, all things are possible to those who what? Immediately the child cried out with tears and said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." In Matthew, I think it's Matthew 17, but anyway, it's this account in Matthew. The same thing happens, but in Matthew it tells us the reason they couldn't cast that devil out, was because of unbelief. That was why. Okay? So then when Jesus saw the people coming together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." So, first of all, there's a seizure, and what happens? Man, that devil left and there was no more problems, right? No. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him what? Convulsed him what? Greatly. So now there was a seizure, and now there's a grand mal seizure. Did you see that? He convulsed him. He convulsed him. Now he convulsed him greatly. That's a greater seizure. A grand mal seizure. So you got a seizure, then a grand mal seizure right in front of Jesus, the Son of God, who exercises authority, right? And then and then he became as one what? So here you've got three different things. And I've probably shared this with you before, but this is where people are. There was Jesus, the Son of God, cast that devil out. There was a seizure, a grand mal seizure, now the boy looks dead. Okay? Three different things that told Jesus that his authority didn't work. Jesus wasn't moved because Jesus believed. And you can read, in I think it's in Matthew 17, it says they could not cast him out because of unbelief. And Jesus said, well, you know, prayer and fasting will help with this. And prayer, it's not prayer and fasting to cast the devil out. It's prayer and fasting to cast unbelief out. And because too many times, here's what happens. We pray, we believe, we take authority, and then things don't move right away. When we look at the clock and we look at the calendar and we look at the condition, you look at the seizure or the grand mal seizure or the boy being dead, and I guess it didn't work. And what happens, the arm of the Lord that was about to be revealed didn't get revealed because we give up. We quit. It didn't happen right away. And can I tell you, this is where more battles are lost than any other. Jesus kept believing. And you can see the rest of the story. He picked the boy up and the boy was healed. But what happens is many times you pray, you believe, you take authority, and then the pain is still there. The symptom comes back. Sometimes it comes back with a vengeance. Sometimes it's worse. Or you get a doctor's report that's worse. And I'm not denying the doctor's report as a fact. But I've got to exalt the truth above the facts, guys. And the facts might be screaming in your face that you didn't receive healing, or your authority didn't work, or whatever. And I'm going to scream back. I'm going to roar with the lion of the tribe of Judah. And I'm going to hold on to the word of God, and I'm not going to let it go. And I'm going to hold on to it, and I'm going to speak to the pain. Look, I'm not afraid to go to a doctor, but I don't go to doctors first. I go to Dr. Jesus, and I find out he gave me authority, and I take that authority, and I command that pain to leave. I command that sickness to go, and it goes. You and I have authority, guys, and we've got to use it. But too many times we let unbelief enter in. What is unbelief? That means you're believing something other than the Word of God. You believe the Word, but you believe what you see, the condition or the length of time it's taken. You're believing something else more than the Word of God. That's unbelief. And look, I can have a symptom come against me that I'm not denying that symptom is in my body. I'm just denying it to have authority in my life. I'm not submitting to it. I don't care how long it's been. Whatever, I'm not submitting to you. You're not staying in my body. I've got authority. What I say goes. The word I say goes. And I'm not going to let the seizure, the grand mal seizure, or me even looking like I'm dead or somebody else keep me from believing. I'm just going to believe. Are you hearing me? And if I'll do that and you'll do that, you'll see healing. Let's stand up on our feet for a moment. Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're born again? That you're saved? You know your authority comes from Jesus. You can't walk in this authority apart from your relationship with Jesus. This is where it all starts. How many of you know beyond any shadow of a doubt you're born again? If you die tonight, you know you go to heaven. Lift your hand high. Okay, put your hand back down. Is there anyone here, you're not sure about that? If you die tonight, you're not sure you go to heaven. If you die tonight, you're not sure about your relationship with God. Or you know you're born again, but you know you've just been yielding to the enemy's lies. And you want to come back to Father's house. You know, because that's where it all starts, is your intimate relationship with Jesus, guys. Amen. So in either of those invitations, you're not sure about your salvation, or you are sure, but you've been away from Father's house and you haven't been yielded to the Lord, and you're just declaring today, I'm coming back to Father's house. Either of those invitations, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. I want to come back to Father's house. Come in fellowship with Him. Lift your hand. I want to pray for you right where you're at. See that hand? Others of you? I'm going to pray for you right where you're at, okay? Because we're going to do healing a different way too. Is there anyone else? All right, let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, just pray after me all together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the new birth that belongs to me. I want to thank you for what you did for me at the cross, Jesus. You paid the price for my sin. For my iniquities, for my healing. I receive that. I receive all that you've done for me. I receive right relationship with you, fellowship with you, and I declare you are my Savior, you are my Lord. Jesus, you are my Savior,
You are my Lord. I am born again. I'm a child of God. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I've got all power, all authority over the works of the enemy. I'm not yielding to him anymore. I'm yielding to you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now I pronounce over you, your sins are forgiven you. You're in right relationship with God. And you're going to walk in your authority. Amen.